Amen. Well, good morning once again, church. I wanted to actually take just one more moment to invite us to pray together before we get into today's message that Pastor Remy will be preaching for us. I just felt like this has been a very intense week for this nation, and I want to just pray for that together. There's a lot going on. There are so many things, from wildfires that have been hitting the West Coast that I know some of your families are affected by, to things happening still with COVID-19, ongoing pandemic, to even things in the political world. Right now, this past week, with the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and as well as the grand jury decisions that were made in the case of Breonna Taylor's killing. And I just felt like we needed to pray together for some of these things as a church. And I know that especially with these things that seem to be more in the political realm, if you're on a different end of the political spectrum than someone else, then you might see and interpret these things very differently. And partly I'm just thankful that in our church we actually have people from different, like, political backgrounds, if you will. I'm thankful for that. And I think for all of us, regardless of where you stand politically, we should be able to look at the world and say, I am first a citizen of the kingdom of God. And because of that, I want to pray to my heavenly Father. I want to join with my brothers and sisters who remain my brothers and sisters, regardless of differences in our political views. We want to fight for one another and fight for the blessing of our world. And so right now, I mean, I just feel like we need to pray for things like God to just sovereignly guide what's happening in our country right now, the upcoming elections that are coming up, which, by the way, we're going to do a message on politics coming up in just a few weeks now at the end of October, so we can talk about that from a biblical perspective before the elections. But I think even especially with the case of Breonna Taylor, so many people are hurting around this. I know her family is hurting. Many African-American brothers and sisters in our country and around the world, they're not African-American, but you know what I mean. People of color around the country are hurting. And besides that, I'm sure many of you know that there were a couple of police officers who were shot in Louisville this past week as well. As people of faith, as people who love Jesus, we should never rejoice in loss of life. We should treasure life and rejoice in life. We should have sorrow in our hearts when life is lost unjustly. We should pray and say, God, please come bring healing. When people around us made in the image of God are hurting, we should pray, say, Lord, you love my brothers and my sisters so much. God, will you come bring healing to their hearts? And I want us as a church to have that perspective of citizens of God's kingdom, saying that we strive for and we pray for things like peace and justice and righteousness and love and unity, that these are the things that our hearts long for and that we grieve when those things are missing from our nation, when people are hurt and torn down because of it. And so I want to just ask us to pray together for that just for a moment here. Will you join with me in prayer? I'll lift us up together. God, we come before you this morning, Lord, and God, our hearts are heavy with things going on all over the country, around the world besides. But God, even just here in this nation, knowing there are people on the West Coast who are losing homes, sometimes losing lives, having their lives torn apart by these wildfires, we pray for an end to them quickly. God, we pray, just seeing many of the things going on with the COVID pandemic still, I believe it's 700 people in this country losing their lives every day still to this pandemic. God, we pray for healing. We pray for peace. We pray, God, that even in our society and our culture, with the kinds of interactions people are having now, with the kinds of animosity, the kinds of hatred that we're seeing in our culture right now, the kinds of division we're seeing, God, we pray for healing, unity, and peace. We pray especially, Lord, that you be watching over the leaders of this nation, the political leaders, everyone from President Trump on through Congress and state governments and local governments. God, we pray for your guidance and your wisdom in Jesus' name, that you would have your hand upon every political leader to guide them, that they may guide this nation through this season. We pray for the upcoming elections, God, that you would have your hand upon that as well, guiding and leading that whole process, establishing things in your will. We pray, God, right now for many in our nation who are hurting, especially people of color, Lord God, but also just all of us who see pain, who see tragic loss of life, injustice, people who see, who, people who see these events that have been happening and see the divisions between law enforcement and communities of color and the political divisions and everything else going on, God, and we pray for your healing and we pray for justice to be done and upheld. We pray, God, for peace in this nation. We pray, God, for the healing of physical wounds as well as wounds that hit our emotions and hit our souls. God, we pray that you would come and bring healing in Jesus' name, and let the name of Jesus be glorified and magnified. We pray for your people around this country. We pray for churches and church leaders around this country, that we would rise up, Lord God, that we would be people of justice and of light and of life, that we would be people who stand for things that are right and true and good, that we will be people, Lord God, who will show the love of Jesus and declare the hope of Christ that we have to all around us who are looking for a hope that this world currently does not offer to us. We pray, God, that you would especially bring a stop to any killings, God. Lord, we don't want to see any more killings of law enforcement officers or of people of color at the hands of law enforcement. Lord, stop that. Bring it to an end in Jesus' name. God, we pray for communities that are hurting, families that are hurting. Lord, will you come and bring healing in Jesus' name? And we pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, in this nation that is so divided by the news sources that we listen to, so divided by the political orientation that we come from. God, will you help us, especially in the church, to come together and help us, Lord, to fight for one another, to fight for those things that we see are true in your word, to fight for your kingdom rather than just fighting for a party or fighting for a political perspective or fighting for something else in this world. God, may we have your kingdom in our hearts and may we live for that and seek that with everything that we have. So come, Lord Jesus, make yourself known to us, make yourself known around this nation. Bring your healing, peace, and justice. We thank you, Lord, that that is your will, that that is your heart, that that is the kingdom that you are bringing into this world. We thank you. We love you. Please bless us now as we listen to your word. Please speak through Pastor Rebbe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Pete. And church, as you are settling in, whatever settling in looks like for you, if you can open up your Bibles to John 13. Thank you, Pastor Pete, for sharing that, and I want to encourage you just to continue to keep our nation in prayer. Our nation is hurting and broken, and we really believe in the power of prayer. It's not the only way that we can respond, but it's one of the best ways that we can respond, and we want to continue to encourage you to do that. John chapter 13, I want to welcome everyone this morning, this last Sunday of September. Especially, I want to welcome those of you who are new visiting our church. I think students are still checking out different churches on campus, so if you're new, whether a student or you're working or your whole family is now in the area, we welcome you. We're thankful that you're joining us this morning. We hope and pray that you enjoy your time of worship, that you enjoy just hearing from God's word, and we want to encourage you as well just to sign up and get plugged into our life group ministry. One of the best ways to really learn more about who we are as a church is really through our life group. These times together on Sunday are important in hearing from God's word and celebrating God together as a community, but we really value community on a whole other level, and that's really achieved through our life group. And so sign up, and more information will be given after the celebration about that. And then before we get started, can we go ahead and just greet one another in the YouTube chat? This is one of the great ways we have on Sunday to just be able to have fellowship. Just tell someone hi. I know many of you are involved in H Games right now, and maybe you could tell which life group's going to win H Games, or you could do a little God-centered trash talking. But let's go ahead and do that and make sure we all know that we're here. And also, as you're doing that, I want to encourage you, enjoy today. I think today is the last really nice weather day we have for the rest of this year. So fall is here, so enjoy it. Get out. Not only is fall here, but we also know winter is coming. And so please enjoy today as best as you can. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Pete introduced us not only to the theme that we have for this year, but also a sermon series that we're starting called Essential. And I think this is a great series, and not only a theme for us to really focus in on, especially in the midst of all that's going on in our lives and in the world around us, what is truly essential. And as I looked up the definition of the word essential, it says absolutely necessary and extremely important. And I realized that that definition really puts a lot of power into what we're talking about these last 2 weeks as well as today. That the things that we're talking about are absolutely necessary and extremely important for us who are disciples of Christ. And our relationship with God and growing and being the church that God's called us to be. And in the last few weeks, Pastor Pete shared about hearing from God's word and the importance of community and how those are essential. And I really believe today, as we dig into today's passage of John 13, that we're going to see another area that is essential that will really hopefully challenge and convict us to respond faithfully. And so John chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 to 15 together. You can read along, hopefully in your Bibles, or you can look on the screen. It says here, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Verse 7, Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you.'" Can we pray one more time before we continue on this morning? Lord, we thank you for the privilege to have one more day to worship and serve you. And I really pray and ask that not only will my words be anointed and used by you, that you'll consecrate me and use me to really deliver your word as your vessel. I pray for every person that is listening in this morning that their hearts are attuned to receive from you, be challenged and equipped by your word. I thank you for the privilege to hear from your word through the story, this testimony of John, and I pray that we'll be challenged through it to see, Lord, another area that is essential to being a disciple. We pray all this in your name. Amen. What I want to propose this morning is that servanthood is an essential part of being a disciple of Jesus. That servanthood is an essential part of being a disciple. And I think this message is important for all of us to hear. Now, obviously, it's important for those who might not be serving to hear. It's obviously very clear that this is important for you to see why servanthood is essential. But also for those of you who are serving, you're involved in serving in different ways. You're using your time, your talents, and your treasures to serve. This message is important because I think through today's passage and through today's message, we're going to see and understand what servanthood really looks like. And I also want to talk to some of you out there who are maybe burnt out from serving. You're burnt out for various reasons. And maybe you are burnt out and you're continuing to serve, or you're burnt out that you stopped serving. I really believe today's message will hopefully be something that will bring healing and refreshment to you. And also for those of you who maybe are new to the Christian faith, I really believe today's message is important to hear as well, because you're going to see not only what we believe as the gospel, but how we respond to the gospel message and what this looks like in the Christian life and what the church is really called to be. And so I want to answer two questions through today's message as we go through the message. It's, why is servanthood essential? And what does servanthood look like? These are the two questions I want to focus in on throughout the message. And in order to understand why, we need to dig deeper into today's passage. This passage is familiar to many of us, and we usually hear it on Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday is a Thursday before Good Friday, the Thursday that we believe Jesus spent that last day before he went to his death on the cross. And so not only was it a time for him to do this, but it was also a time for him to share in a meal with the disciples and also to encourage them, to exhort them. And I believe what he does here is an essential part of what he's sharing with them. And one of the things I want to make very clear as we go into today's study is this whole idea of foot washing, it really doesn't impact us the way that it does because we don't do foot washing. I mean, hopefully you wash your own feet. That's really important. But we don't wash one another's feet. That's just not normal in the culture that we live in. Maybe you might get a pedicure, and that's fine. But otherwise, foot washing is not normal. And the reason I know this is because back in the day, this is like 17 years ago, one of the first life groups I led, it was a summer life group. That life group was named Apple. It was a horrible name, but that was an acronym for all people's praising the Lord every day, everywhere, and something else. And that was a life group that I led. It was one of the first life groups that I led in the summer. And so that life group in the summer, we were struggling for a while. And so me as a leader, I remember we decided that we wanted to just really challenge our members to really learn to love and serve one another. And so we decided to wash their feet one life group meeting. And so that was the plan. And so we got there on a Tuesday. And on that Tuesday, I remember we were there, and all of a sudden this newcomer walked in. And mind you, I was a new leader, and I was like freaking out. I was like, what are we going to do? And so in the middle of life group, I like told the life group to wait, and I took our leadership team, and I had like an emergency planning meeting during life group. I'm not exaggerating. This is all straight up. And I said, what should we do? Like, should we wash the newcomer's feet? Should we still do this? And so we had a brief planning meeting, and then I decided to still go ahead and do it. And so we went ahead and washed everyone's feet, and we exhorted them to love and serve one another. And then afterwards, honestly, nothing changed. And you know, like we washed their feet, and they were just sitting around with clean feet. But more or less, I don't know if it really had an impact on them. And I think the reason why was I think washing people's feet, I mean, it's nice. We appreciate it, but we don't really understand the impact it has. So I was trying to think about like other examples that I could give or illustrate like what this might look like today. Like, hey, Pastor Rebbe bought me lunch. Or like Pastor Rebbe bought me a coffee, or Pastor Rebbe came over and he washed my car. That was really nice, and that didn't really work. I was like, maybe Pastor Rebbe came over and washed my bathroom. And for some of you, your bathroom is really close to illustrating what this is like, but still, it doesn't really hit what Jesus did here. And I'm thankful because I believe what the Apostle Paul does as he recaps his story, we can clearly see the impact that it had on the disciples then, and also the example that it sets for us. And the first thing I want you to see is that the Apostle John's account was written after the resurrection. And so this wasn't like a diary as this was happening, but this was written after the resurrection. And I believe that's important because the full impact of what Jesus did here isn't realized until after the resurrection. And he understood this because even in verse 1, it says Jesus loved them to the end. And what that means is to the full extent, he fully understood that on display here. In this story, John also notes that Judas was about to betray Jesus. Judas was about to betray Jesus. And again, he knew this. Later on in the story, he finds out that Judas was going to betray. And he realized that not only did Jesus wash the disciples' feet, but he also washed the feet of the man that was going to betray him. And not just the man that was going to betray him, but we also realize later on that all the disciples abandoned Jesus at his hour of greatest needs, and yet he still washed their feet. He continues on and he says in verse 3 that Jesus was not given all authority and about to return to the Father. And so John realized this, that all authority on heaven and earth was given to Jesus. And he was about to return to God the Father. He was about to return to heaven, the most highest position in the universe. He was about to return to the Father. And that was the person who knew this. And understood this, that even though he had authority in all of heaven and on earth, he could have even done anything to even stop Judas from betraying him. He had that kind of authority, and yet what he did was, we see that he laid aside his outer garment and began to wash the feet of his disciples. And there's an image here that you could see of what this looks like. And the reason why this is so important is for the Jewish readers, when they heard that Jesus took off his outer garment, they would be in shock because of his clothing would look like that of a servant. And for a teacher, for someone who is a teacher or a rabbi to do that would have been just like shocking, almost like insulting for him to do. That washing of the feet was reserved for the lowliest of servants. D.A. Carson captures the power of this act in this quote I want to read. It says, doubtless the disciples would have been happy to wash his feet, Jesus's. They could not conceive of washing one another's feet. Since this task normally reserved for the lowliest of menial servants, peers did not wash one another's feet, except very rarely and as a mark of great love. Some Jews insisted that Jewish slaves should not be required to wash the feet of others. This job would be reserved for the Gentile slaves or for women and children and pupils. And that's just to understand the cultural context of what's happening here. That the washing of the feet of the disciples is a very significant moment for the people at this time. And John is really allowing us to understand what Jesus did is a huge act of servanthood here for the disciples. John continues on and notes the response of Peter and how Peter was not wanting Jesus to wash his feet. And the reason why, and I always wondered why he did that. Was he like trying to like show that Peter was like this annoying disciple? But I realized the reason he noted that was because that was how all the disciples felt. But Peter was just the only one who vocalized that. See, this story had a profound impact on the disciples. But the fullness of the impact didn't take place until after the resurrection. See, church, that's when they realized that what Jesus did when he washed their feet, he wasn't just their teacher, but he was the Son of God. And the Son of God came and not only lowered himself to a servant to serve them, but he also offered his life on the cross so that they could be washed clean by the blood that he shed of their sins. And as we look closer, we see that in response to this, in response to the gospel of Jesus serving his disciples and serving the church, Jesus asks all disciples to wash one another's feet. Then instead of saying, hey, you should do this or that for me, he says, in response, I want you to wash one another's feet. And the first point this morning is that the gospel motivates us to servanthood. The gospel motivates us to servanthood. See, if that was me and someone, and I did that for someone, I would have been like, hey, now you should buy me dinner or you should do this for me. But what Jesus does in response is, I want you to commit to washing one another's feet. And this is why servanthood is essential. Because as we look closely, we see that not only did Jesus wash the disciples' feet, and maybe he hasn't washed our feet like he did here, but we see that Jesus has come and took the form of a servant and washed us clean by his blood that was shed on the cross. That we have been forgiven of our sins. And that's the gospel message. And what was happening here with the washing of the feet was the greatest preview of what was going to happen on the cross later. That what Jesus was doing was giving them a preview, a trailer of what ultimately he was going to do, not only for the disciples, but for all of the world on the cross. And for those of you who are new and learning more about the Christian faith, this is what we believe is, that not believe, this is what is the gospel. This is the good news. That Jesus has washed us clean from our sin, from our disobedience, and we are made new. We are cleansed. We are made right with God. And in response, there is one way Jesus commanded to the love that he demonstrated for us. In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And church, what I want to say this morning, in order to be a growing disciple of Jesus Christ, servanthood is an essential part of your life, of your journey. And I will go as far to say that if you're not serving, there's a pretty good chance that you might not be growing. And I would also say, if you're not serving, that you might not understand the gospel. I think Charles Spurgeon said it really well in this quote. It says, "I believe that many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for their Lord. But if they actively served him, their blood would begin to circulate spiritually and it would be well with them." Now, let me be clear. I know what some of you might be thinking. Is this pastor speaking a gospel of works and we need to do something in order to earn salvation? And no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that in order to be saved, you have to serve. That's not what I'm saying. We've been saved, and salvation comes through faith alone in Jesus Christ, but a visible fruit of your salvation is the heart of a servant, which Jesus demonstrated for us. And I want to make something else very clear. There's many ways that we could be serving. We could be serving in our community. We could be serving in our workplace and in our classroom, and that's all good and important, but this message and this passage is really focused in on serving the body of Christ. And so can I pause here and ask you, are you serving? Are you being faithful to the new command that Jesus gave us to love one another as he has loved us? Are you serving? Have you been faithful to this command? Now, I know it's a really challenging time right now in the world that we live in for many different reasons, and especially because of the pandemic, it's caused us to make difficult, it's become difficult to serve in the ways that we normally serve and the ways that we normally would. And I know it's harder, it's more difficult. But the thing that Jesus shared is that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And church, if the gates of hell should not prevail, we should not allow a pandemic to prevail against a church. And I want to challenge you this morning, are you willing to allow God to anoint and empower you to serve the church just like Jesus commanded and demonstrated when he washed the feet of his disciples? Are you willing to allow God? Maybe it's different, maybe it looks different, but God has commanded us to love one another. There's no footnote that says, in the case of a pandemic, don't disregard this command. It doesn't say that there. It says in every season, no matter what's going on in your life, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Church, are you using your time, your talents, and or treasures to serve the body of Christ? Because it's very clear what Jesus commanded us, and we see that servanthood is essential. And that the gospel motivates us to servanthood. Not only does the gospel motivate us to servanthood, but we see that the gospel affirms our servanthood. The gospel affirms our servanthood. Now, this is going to be a very important topic, especially for those of you who are serving, or maybe you've been burnt out from serving. And the reason I want to explain what I mean by this, I think many of the reasons why some of us serve, and maybe the reason why some of us have stopped serving, is because of affirmation or a lack thereof. Many of you grew up and you didn't receive regular affirmation. But maybe later on you received affirmation when you achieved something, whether it was at work or in school or maybe in athletics. And some of you, you got that affirmation when you served in the church, like, oh, you're a great worship leader, you're a wonderful life group leader, we need you. Like, man, you are so, like, essential to the work of God. And you loved hearing that. Because for a lot of us, we crave that affirmation because of insecurity or because we want to please people. Because we want to know we're doing a good job. We want to know that we're valued. And so therefore, in some ways, we found our worth, our value, even our identity in the ways that we serve. And so therefore, you've been serving out of that, and that's been fueling your serving. And it's, you're looking for that recognition. You're looking for that affirmation. And maybe you're realizing it now. You're getting tired because you're not getting the affirmation. Or maybe the affirmation you're getting isn't enough. And you realize, hey, like, why am I doing this? And for others of you, you stopped serving. You've gotten bitter because you didn't get the affirmation for all the things that you've done. And you're, why do I do this? What's the point? No one's noticing. No one's thankful. No one's grateful. And church, I want to make something very clear. Serving the body of Christ for the purpose of pleasing people or to receive affirmation is not only going to lead you to a hopeless end, but it's also a sin. Because rather than serving to worship God, you're serving to worship some form of an idol, whether it's yourself or that person that you're trying to please. And I want to really point that out and make that clear. Because in my spirit, as I was preparing this, I realized for many of us, that's what we long for. You want people to notice how well you do that ministry item or how well you serve in this way. You want people to notice. And I'll talk about that. That's not 100% a bad thing. But if that's your motivation, if that's what's causing you to serve, if that's where it's fueling from, not only is it a sin, but you realize that it's going to end up in this hopeless end. And the reason why I'm confident of that is because you're looking for something in this world, in creation, that can only be fully satisfied by your Creator. And it's not possible, no matter how much affirmation you get from this world, no matter how gifted you are, that it will not satisfy that need that you have that can only be given to you by God your Father. And the affirmation we need to serve has already been given to us by God through His Son, Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says, we love each other because He loved us first. And so not only do we love one another because He loved us first, but we serve one another because He served us first. And that's where our motivation, that's where the affirmation comes for you to serve faithfully. It's not because, hey, they're going to notice or they're going to appreciate me, but it's because of what Jesus has done first, that we serve, that we love, that we give. Paul David Tripp illustrates this through this quote. It says, "You have been called to give yourself to the work of God's kingdom and to daily obey the commands of the King. You've been called to recognize that your life is no longer your own because you were bought with the price. But the work you do is never to be done in order to earn something. The work you're called to do is to be done in celebration of something. You don't work to earn God's favor. Rather, you work as a hymn of thanks for the favor that Christ achieved on your behalf." Church, can I invite you just to pause and reflect? Like, as you've been serving, or maybe you stopped serving, where's your heart at? Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you serve in the ways that you serve? And so much of our value and our identity has been found in serving. And no wonder we're getting burnt out. No wonder we're tired. And not only that, but no wonder there's no fruit in our ministry because we're doing it to praise creation rather than the Creator. And something else I want to address about our hearts as we serve. I know some of you, hopefully God is challenging you and convicting you, and that's great. And I think sometimes the easiest thing to do is, okay, I got to stop serving and I got to get my heart right. And I want to challenge you, I don't think that's the way that you get your heart right. Like, if you realize that, hey, I'm not studying well, I'm just going to stop studying this semester and I'm just going to wing it. You wouldn't do that. Oh, I realize my heart is not right in my marriage, and so spouse, I'm just going to take the next 6 months off just to get my heart right, and then we'll get back together. Like, you wouldn't do that in any other area of your life necessarily. And so the reason I share that is because one of the best ways for you to really grow in your heart of servanthood, to really fight for your heart, to really have a pure heart, is to continue to serve and to have just this understanding that your motives might be wrong and to continuously check that, even have accountability in that so that you can grow and you can overcome your natural tendency to maybe do things for affirmation or to please people. And so I want to encourage you, if you realize that, if you recognize that that's your heart, then tell someone, share with someone, an older brother or sister, accountability partner, someone on your ministry team or wherever it might be, and say, hey, can you check in on me on this? But now I want to talk about the flip side of this coin, because I believe one of the best ways that we can serve one another is by affirming one another in the body of Christ. Now, you might think, oh, pastor, you just contradicted yourself. And no, I'm not. One of the ways we can encourage one another is through affirming one another in the midst of serving. And that affirmation doesn't satisfy, but I believe you can be used by God as his agent of love to just affirm and encourage one another. And just, I've been in this church for 21 years, and I realized that I don't know if we do a really good job of affirming one another. When people serve well, do we tell them good job? And you know what I know this? Is like when I'm trying to be very vague because I don't want people to be like, they're calling me out, and maybe I am, but I'll be vague. I remember one time I shared with people, I just really appreciate you all for serving because I know that it was a seriously just busy time of ministry. And like the look on their face, like I would expect them to be like, oh, thanks, Pastor Abby, but no, they look angry. And I was like, what, did I do something wrong? Like, did I say something wrong? Like, and maybe because they never experienced affirmation, maybe they didn't know, or maybe they're like, hey, Pastor, but you don't really understand what's going on. Even though I work full-time, I'm also a pastor full-time, I do like 70, 80 hours of work, and then I'm also busy in the midst of it all. I understand. And so when I say thank you, I do appreciate it. And maybe the reason why is because we're not affirming one another, and that's not a regular practice. And this is something I want to encourage us to do more regularly. And I want to start here today. First, I want to recognize Chris and Steph Long because they did a special project for me, and I want to thank them for doing this. But what I want to do is I want to recognize some people who are serving in our church who have been serving faithfully that you all should know about. First, I want to show these are the people that are on our church staff. You can show it now. Wow, it's really smooth and exciting. Let's recognize these guys. These guys have been serving faithfully on the church staff. These are people that are paid by the church who have been working in different ways, whether they're pastoring and leading their different staff positions. They're overseeing different areas of our ministry. And so these people have been serving faithfully. And I want to recognize them because what they're doing, they've been faithful to love you and to love the church by offering their lives in serving. And so we want to thank them. This next slide is our campus executive team. These guys are the ones that are overseeing our campus ministry, whether it's the domestic or the international ministry. And these brothers and sisters have been working tirelessly to serve, prepare different things, whether it's been OCR or different things that are coming up for access or different seminars. And so these guys are praying through and discerning what God's calling them to do in leading the campus ministries of our church. This next slide is both our city ministry as well as our programming ET. These brothers and sisters are faithfully serving and organizing different aspects of the city ministry, whether it's focus and impact, as well as just a different programming of our church. And yes, that is a picture of Edwin when he was in the fifth grade. And so we want to thank for that picture. And I think that was Michelle's like glamour shots as well. But like we thank them because they've been serving faithfully. And I want to honor them. And I want to encourage you all to know that these guys are helping run the church. That yes, Pastor Pete and Pastor Josh and I were up here preaching. But these guys are the ones that are serving faithfully. And lastly, I want to recognize these men and women and their families who are serving as part of our Covenant ET. I don't know if this is exactly what they're called, but man, these guys are like superheroes. Because not only are they faithfully serving in their workplaces and their families, but they're doing so much, not only in overseeing our Covenant ministry, but also in other ministries, in our building blocks and other aspects of our church. And so for them to do the things that they are doing, it's really clear that God has been anointing them and using them, and they've been faithfully serving well. Church, can I ask us, let's pause here for a moment, and I want you to fill the chat. I want you to recognize people who are serving well, whether it's in your life group, whether it's in your ministry teams. Let's learn to do this and share their name. Don't be like, oh, that one Asian. We'll be like, oh, who are you talking about? Be like very specific. I want to honor that brother, that sister. Let's do that. I want to give you a moment to do that. Just flood the chat and just recognize people who are serving well. Let's affirm them and encourage them with words of affirmation. As you're doing that, I will refuel myself with some water. And so God is using you as you affirm one another to encourage you to continue to serve faithfully. And when someone affirms you, I want to, this might sound really weird. It's okay to say, you're welcome. It's okay to say, praise God. It's okay to receive that. It's okay. And I'm saying this not because I'm like talking about you. Like when people affirm me, I didn't know what to do. I remember I was having my job review and my boss was like affirming me at my workplace. And I was like, no, that's not me. I'm just a humble servant and I don't deserve that. And I realized it's okay to receive affirmation. It's okay for you to be able to say, someone says thank you to you and say, yeah, you're welcome. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's be in the habit of doing that because that's one way I really believe God can use you to serve the body of Christ. But we also realize that that's not why we serve. We serve because we've been loved first. We've been served first by God. And not only does the gospel affirm our servanthood, but we see that the gospel empowers our servanthood. The gospel empowers our servanthood. I want to reiterate the point that I made earlier, that our worth and value is not found in how we perform. Our value is tied to the gospel and the price that was paid on our behalf. And because of that, the empowerment that comes for us to serve faithfully comes from just regular times, resting in God's presence, being fueled by God's love for us, being reminded of the salvation that was given for us when our Savior served us on the cross. And so therefore, church, in order for you to serve faithfully, you must be empowered by the Spirit of God. And this Spirit of God has been made possible for you to be filled by the gospel message. Not only did Jesus die on the cross so that your sins are forgiven, but as you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are filled with this Spirit that now empowers you to be faithful, to live as His disciple in this world. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Power through His Spirit in your inner being. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength Let me read that again. May I have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What that means is that the Holy Spirit allows you to understand more of the love of Jesus, the depth and breadth of his love, so that you are filled, that you are affirmed, and you are empowered and fueled and strengthened in order to serve God faithfully. How many of us can say that we've been filled and empowered by God's grace through his Spirit, by God's grace through his Spirit in our serving? How many of us can say that as you're serving in whatever way it is, whether it's serving practically through a ministry team or different ways, or maybe it's even in your giving of your tithes and your offerings, whatever way that you're serving, how many of you can say that you've been empowered by the Spirit of God, strengthened by his Spirit in order to serve faithfully? The reason why that's so important is if you're not strengthened by the Spirit of God, then you're doing things out of your own strength. Then you're doing things out of your own means. And what people need aren't more of you. What they need is more of God. And in order for you to be empowered and strengthened by God to give more of God, you need to be empowered by him through the gospel, through his Spirit, so that you can be faithful to serve in whatever capacity that God's calling you to serve. And some of us are so busy serving, we don't realize the importance of being filled. And you've been serving and serving, and you're getting tired, and there's no power or effectiveness in your ministry. And maybe the reason why is because we're not being fueled by God, empowered by his Spirit in order to be effective in the ministry God's called us to. Bill Johnson says, "Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source." Church, how many of us have been connected to that life source? Intimacy with our servant God. Our God who served us faithfully. And not only served us what, but continues to serve us through his Spirit so that we can be empowered to be faithful to the command, the new command that he gave us to love one another, to love the body of Christ. The gospel empowers our servanthood. And lastly, last point, is not only does the gospel empower our servanthood, but we see that the gospel is demonstrated through servanthood. The gospel is demonstrated through servanthood. Now, I shared earlier that this passage that Jesus is talking to the disciples is really focused in on teaching them what it looks like in the body of Christ. I really believe that he's slowly giving them a blueprint of what the body of Christ, what the church, the capital C church, what the lowercase c church should look like. That he's teaching them and training them of what this should look like practically when he goes away. That I want you to wash and serve one another. Just as I have served you, just as I have given you an example, I want you to do the same. But I really believe as well that not only is this going to have an impact for us and one another, but I believe if we're faithful in obeying this new command, if we're faithful in obeying and serving one another, just as Christ served us, that not only will this be a visible opportunity for us to serve, but I really believe it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate the gospel message to the world around us. John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, it says in the ERV, "I give you a new command, love each other. You must love each other just as I have loved you. All people," let me say that again, "all people will know that you are my followers if you love each other." And over and over again, it's been just crazy how God has been working throughout this week in my life. I've been listening to different messages just for my own personal just growth and edification. And over again, even just this one time I was listening to this message from Pastor J.D. Greer, and he was saying, if this is the way the church live, if this is the way that the church serve one another, the way that Christ served, we wouldn't need fancy programs. We wouldn't need all these things to reach people, because people will look into the church and see the love of God being demonstrated, and they'll be like, I want to be a part of that. And that's the kind of church that God is calling us to be. That is essential for us, not only for us to demonstrate the gospel to one another, but for the gospel to be demonstrated to the world. They must see what Jesus did for us in the way that we serve and love one another. And that will bring people to see how loving and awesome our God is. Jamie Snyder said, "It is when you take the posture of a servant that people catch a glimpse of the King." Church, can I ask you, in whatever way that you serve, if people were to look at you, if people were to peek in, and the way that you use your time, your talents, and your treasures, would someone who doesn't know Christ see it and be pointed to the King? In the way that you serve, in whatever area it might be? Would they see the way that you're serving and loving one another? Would they peek into our YouTube live stream? Would they peek into your life group? Would they peek into the different ways that we are living out the calling that God has given us as a church? And would they say, this God is worthy of praise. This God is a God that I want to live for. Because they see what Jesus did to the disciples, what Jesus did on the cross, demonstrated daily in the life of our church. And you know why I know this? Because this is my personal testimony. This is a testimony for me. And this is a photo that I'm going to ask them to share. This is actually my first life group back in the day in the year 2000. Yes, this is the turn of the century. And this is my first life group. This is the life group called iDelta. I checked out different life groups before this, but this is the first life group I committed to. And the reason why this testimony and what I'm sharing is something that I could be confident of it is because this was demonstrated to me. It was the beginning of that school year in September. It was my senior year. And right before the first access, our Friday gathering for our student ministry, I got very sick. And so I couldn't go to access. And so I stayed at home. We didn't have any life group meetings yet. And so we didn't meet anyone. The first time we were going to meet our life group was actually at this access. And so there was access that Friday. I was just staying at home. I don't remember what I was doing, but I was just staying at home. I was just being very sick. And then all of a sudden, late at night, I remember when it was 10:30, I got a knock on my door. I was like, who knows where I live? And so I look in through the peephole in the door, and my life group leaders are standing there. And so my mind was like, how do they know where I live? And so I was like, how do you guys know where I live? I didn't even open the door. I just asked them, how do you guys know where I live? You put your address on the life group sign-up card when you signed up for life group. Oh, okay. What are you guys doing here? Oh, we heard you were sick, and we wanted to just give you a care package. And so I opened the door. And for those of you, look at the picture on the far right, Nikki. She was actually Nikki Yu then, but Nikki Jun now. That's Pastor Andrew's wife. And on the far left, Dave Yun, who's here now. We call him Dion. They were my life group leaders. And they didn't really know me that well, but they wanted to bless me with this care package. They knew I was sick, and so they came. And they gave me this care package. And worship team, you guys can come on up. And I was just like stunned. I was shocked. And 20 years later, I still have this care package. So let me get this. Actually, I'm kidding. I don't have the care package. That'd be really weird, right? But I'll tell you this. The impact of that care package for 20 years ago is still right here today. Because of their act of service, because of their display of God's love, I wanted to go to the next life group meeting. I wanted to go and check out what kind of love would cause people to do that for me, someone they barely knew. And because of that, not only did I want to serve our life group, but I wanted to continue to be involved. And from that point, I grew, I experienced God, I've served, I got people serve me, and this just continued, just overwhelming, just work of God in my life. And I stand here as a testimony that when they demonstrated God's love to me through that small care package, that it had a profound impact. And I knew that this is the God that I want to offer my life to. And it began this whole series of events that brings me to today. I really believe that the gospel not only should be communicated verbally, but we need to visibly demonstrate it with acts of service. Can I give you some practical ways that we can do this? One thing, and this is not in my notes, so hold on for a second. Can I challenge you, if you're tuning in, can you join us at 10 a.m. regularly? What I mean by that is, many of you are here and you started at 10 a.m. and that's great. Some of you are watching this at like 3 p.m. Some of you are watching this on like Monday. And that's fine. Maybe you slept in or whatever. But some of you, you're doing that because you want to do this to serve you. You want to watch this and attend church when it's convenient for you. And I want to encourage you. And again, if you have various reasons for doing so, it's fine. I'm not talking to you. But if you're just doing this because, hey, I want to be comfortable and convenient, one of the ways that you can serve the body of Christ is not only joining us at 10 on Sunday for our live stream, but actively participating in the chat and encouraging and exhorting one another so we can be the body of Christ together. Can I encourage you to do that? And don't feel bad like, oh my God, I slept in. Pastor Rebbe's going to hate me. I'm not going to hate you. God won't hate you. It's not that. But I really believe there's something that we can do in actively serving one another through our live stream, through our YouTube chat. Another thing you can do is this week, brainstorm ways your life group can commit to serving the body of Christ this year. I believe many of the life groups are going through our Sunday sermon series for their Bible study. Brainstorm ways, especially in the midst of being in the pandemic, being faithful to social distancing and wearing a mask and doing all those things. What are some ways you can serve the body of Christ in our church? What are some things you can do? Whether it's to bless another life group or to bless another life stage. And I know you don't want to do that now because you're competing against one another for age games, but after age games, maybe even during age games, what are some ways you can serve one another? And how awesome would it be if we can just find different ways, whether it's a care package or, I don't know, even a note. Even just maybe you join their Zoom meeting on a life group because you just want to pray for them. Students in the midst of the craziness of being on campus with other students getting COVID and all that's going on, and just knowing that you just need prayer. There's working people that are going through more stress at work because of all that's going on and working from home and juggling that. Families who not only have to be faithful with everything they had to do, but now their kids are at home and they need to be faithful to make sure that they're attending and doing well at school. We need to be serving the body of Christ faithfully. And if you're not part of a life group, can I invite you to sign up for one? Pastor Pete will give you more information after the celebration, but sign up and get plugged into our community. The next one is, can you sign up for experiencing ministry and get plugged into a ministry team? What a great avenue for you to serve the body of Christ through a ministry team. And I could share my experiences because I've served on literally almost every ministry team, whether leading or being a member. I led the pubs team. I can't even draw a tree. I led hospitality team with this face. That was a very dark time in our church. I led different ministry teams, and I could confidently say that through those experiences, God allowed me to grow through the servants team. But maybe not hearing from me, I want to invite our brother Michael to share a testimony of his experiences through serving in a ministry team. So let's hear from our brother Michael together.
Hi, church. My name is Michael, and I just want to share a little bit more about how being on the hospitality team has really shown me more of the gospel and how I've just grown through all of it. And I think one of the biggest things was just in knowing more of God's love. And I think it's through knowing that God, who is in heaven, who is all-powerful, who is in control of everything, like looked upon us and had compassion and love for us, that he sent his only son to die for us. And I think it's that beautiful love and story that really, like, grown in me a heart to love. And I think in the same way, just being on hospitality, that, you know, as I'm welcoming people in, as I'm serving people, like, I don't just see people coming in, but I see God's beloved, precious, and treasured children. And because I know that, I see through God's eyes, like, my heart just, like, burns with love and compassion and just joy for them. And I think that just really drives me to really love them. And it's like, I'm not just here to love because I'm forced to or have to because I'm on this team, but it's like, I want to love because my heart, like, desires to love and to serve those people. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've been learning about, you know, God's love and the gospel and just being on this team. And it's not always easy. Like, at times it's hard to love, and certain circumstances around you can change and make it hard. But I think I'm always reminded that, you know, that one truth, that because God loves me so much, like, how can I not, like, as a response, love others around me and also love our church or be on this team and love wholeheartedly? And I think I just always challenge to grow in that way. And so, yeah, I think that's just one of the biggest ways I've just grown, being on hospitality and just seeing so much of the gospel and how good and just how, yeah, just how good it is. And so, yeah, I'm just so thankful for that. And so, yeah.
Thank you, Michael, for sharing. And that's just one testimony. And we want to encourage you this week. Again, Pastor Pete will share more information, but sign up, discover ways that you can serve and get plugged in and be the hands and feet of God in our church. And then lastly, and again, most of this message has been focusing on serving the body of Christ, but I think one great way we can serve our community is to reach out to U of M students who are in quarantine. There's many students. Right now, I think there was 100 cases of students on our campus. And we're not just reaching out to U of M students. I know there's other campuses in the area. But there's about 100 students. And several of them are in quarantine, I believe, on North Campus. North Campus already feels like quarantine. But now if you're in quarantine because of COVID, it's even more challenging. And what a great way for you, whatever life stage you're in as a life group, to bless some of these students who are in quarantine. That you can not only give them some, like, a care package, but also a note just to let them know you're praying for them to receive healing. And just a powerful way for you to tangibly demonstrate the gospel. I'm going to put up here James 10. He's one of the leaders of our city ministry. His email, if you're interested, if your life group is interested, can I ask your life group leader to email James and say, hey, what can we do to get involved? And James is working with different organizations at the university, and he'll find out and let you guys know. But what a tangible way we can demonstrate God's love and do it together as a community to serve the needs of our campus. Can I invite you just to bow your heads as we close out with a time of worship and prayer? And just as your heads are bowed, church, can I invite you to imagine, and not just imagine, but begin to pray and ask God, God, what would it look like if every person in our church, every child, every toddler, every member of our youth ministry or undergrad students, college, graduate students, working adults, families, married couples, if everyone had this attitude of a servant, what would this church look like, God, if we could have the attitude that Christ had? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 says, in your life together as a community, think the way Christ Jesus thought. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that causes death, death on a cross. That if we could be this kind of community, that in response to Jesus first loving us, Jesus first serving us through the cross, that we could love and serve one another in the same way. Man, not only will God allow us to experience the gospel in just more intimate and deep ways, but man, people will be just running in, not only to our YouTube, but eventually when we're back together here at the T Center, wanting to see more and hear more about this God that they see demonstrated through the community in our church. Can I invite you to pray and ask God to really do that work in you, to repent maybe of ways that you look for affirmation in this world, and realize that the affirmation to serve has been given to you by the gospel. Also, for those of you, you're tuning in and you're new, you haven't yet put your faith in God. Everything we're talking about first starts with the gospel. It starts with the good news that Jesus Christ first loved not only us, but he loved you and he died for your sins. And you can receive the benefit of that gift by accepting Jesus into your life. You can lift up a prayer like this and say, Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for serving me. I thank you ultimately for loving me. And I want to invite you into my life. I want to invite you in. And I want to live a life that honors and worships and serves you. I want to experience the power of your Spirit so that I can grow and be faithful as your disciple. You could lift up a prayer like that. And today will be the day that you become a Christ follower and you will spend eternity in heaven with your Savior. Church, wherever you're at, can I invite us? Let's celebrate our servant King. Let's celebrate our Savior. Let's celebrate Christ and thank him for what he's done and demonstrated, not only with the disciples and washing their feet, but ultimately through the cross, his death, and his resurrection. Father, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name for a reminder of the good news of the gospel. We thank you today that, Father, we are reminded that you first loved us, that when we were unlovable, when we were, Lord, just like the disciples, Lord, we betrayed you, we dishonored you, we disobeyed you, we disgraced you with our sin. And knowing all that, you took all that to the cross. Father, we want to not only thank you, but we want to become more like you. Church, can I invite you to do that?